I like to be moving. So I'm generally, if it's light out, I'm hiking. Francie, my wife, knows the expression, honey, you're burning daylight. And so if you're walking all day, then carrying a lighter load means you're enjoying it a lot more. You know, you're able to see what's around. You don't need to stop and take your pack off just to let your muscles, you know, get unknotted. And you have less injuries.
Glenn Van Pesky is just like any backpacker. When he's getting ready for a trek, he's thinking about everything he needs to take with him. But there's a major difference between Glenn's backpack and those of most other hikers. Some backpackers will head out with a pack that weighs upwards of 20 pounds, sometimes even up to 50 or more. But Glenn's pack usually only weighs around 12 pounds. That's why he's known as the king of ultralight backpacking and why one of his trail names is Legend. I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Wild Ideas Worth Living, an REI Co-op Studios production brought to you by Capital One. Glenn Van Pesky is the founder of Gossamer Gear, a brand that makes equipment specifically for ultralight backpackers. If you're unfamiliar, ultralight backpacking is a style of backpacking where you carry the least amount and the lightest weight gear you can. Glenn has introduced thousands of people to this style of backpacking, not just through his brand, but also through speaking engagements and just meeting people on the trail. It's made him a bit of a celebrity in the outdoor world. He's also just one of the nicest people ever. I met Glenn years ago when I was speaking to a group of Girl Scouts. Glenn spoke before me, and he was telling the scouts about all the things you need or don't need in your pack. I always remember that at the end of his talk, one of these little girls raised her hand and asked, "What about carrying emergency candy?" Glenn paused, and I really wasn't sure what he was going to say. I mean, he's so focused on lightweight packing that he's cut his sleeping pad in half. But Glenn looked up at the little girl and said, "Of course you need emergency candy. Just pack something light like jelly beans." From that moment on, I knew we'd be friends. Glenn Van Pesky, welcome to Wild Ideas Worth Living. It's so exciting to have an old friend on the show who's taught me a lot about hiking.
Well, it's very exciting to me to be on your show, having like been from like your book chronicles our meeting all those years ago, and then having watched you build the podcast. And it's a treat to have a familiar face for this experience here.
How did you get involved in the outdoors?
Well, as a kid, we did a lot of camping. My dad had a pickup truck. He's super handy. He made this like system of trays and stuff that went in the back. And so we'd go to national parks and camp, and we'd go on hikes. And so, you know, that was at an early age. And then when my parents divorced, when I was in fourth grade and we moved back to Massachusetts, my mom joined the Appalachian Mountain Club, and, you know, we'd go on hikes around there. And then when I graduated high school in 76, I thought it'd be a good idea to ride my bicycle across the country. So we did 4,200 miles with a couple friends. So that was a fun adventure.
What year was this?
This was 1976.
In 1976, you rode your bike across the country?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, no helmets, no cell phones. I think I called my mom twice in 6 weeks from like payphones.
Do you have any stories from that trip?
The one that really sticks in my mind, a lot of times we'd be riding on state highways that had been replaced kind of by an interstate. So the old rest stops and stuff were still there. So we'd just camp at a rest stop. But sometimes if we were near a town, we'd just go knock on a door and say, "Hey, you know, we're riding from Massachusetts to California on our bicycles. Can we pitch our tents in your front yard?" This one night, we stopped, and I went up and knocked on the door, and this old guy answered. And so I'm like 17, 18, so I have no idea how old he was, but he seemed old to me then. And he said, "Yeah, sure, but, you know, do better around the side of the house. There's less wind there and stuff." So I agree. Great. So we go there and we're setting up, and he comes out And he says, what time are you guys leaving in the morning? And I said, well, you know, we've got miles to do. We're trying to do like 80 miles a day. And so we're kind of getting an early start before it gets too hot. So, you know, we're usually going by 7. And he kind of like disappointed. And he said, well, you know, we'd really like to make you breakfast, but, you know, my wife's got really bad arthritis and it's just brutal in the morning. She just can't get up that early. And I said, oh, that's fine. You know, we're just happy to have a place to camp. We don't expect any breakfast. That's fine. Appreciate the gesture. And he came out with a little package of Hostess donuts. You know, he says, well, since we can't make you breakfast, we can at least give you these little, you know, powdered sugar donuts. And so the next morning, sun's up, we're packing up and we're about to wheel off. And the door to their house opens and he beckons us up. And so we think, you know, he wanted to say goodbye or something. So we go in and his wife had gotten up, you know, in spite of her brutal arthritis, and they had made a feast. I mean, there was eggs and home fries and biscuits and potatoes and pancakes and syrup. And I mean, there was so much food. I'm pretty sure we ate through their weekly food budget, like in that one meal. And I was just so touched that, you know, she got up through the pain so she could feed three smelly strangers. You know, and I've been telling that story for almost 50 years now. And I like to think that I'm sure they're gone, but that they told that story for many years from their side about the four hungry kids that they'd never seen eat so much that they met that summer of 1976.
That trip and that breakfast in particular had a tremendous impact on Glenn. It taught him a lot about generosity, which is a trait that's become a central pillar in his life. The trip was also a preview for Glenn's career in the outdoor industry. When Glenn and his friends ended their ride in California, he got a job at a civil engineering firm. From there, Glenn went back to school to become an engineer. The things he learned on the job, about the cost of materials and the power of simplifying, didn't just help him at work. They were also useful decades later when Glenn started backpacking with his family. How did you become so obsessed with ultralight backpacking? Like, was there a time where you just had this heavy monster pack?
Yeah, we have a picture of me with my probably 13-year-old son, Brian, our oldest at that point, in the Sierras. And I have this huge pack on, and he's got a huge pack on. And my pack for that week in the Sierras weighed 70 pounds when I put it on the scale. And shortly after that, since I was a adult leader in the local scout troop, my friend read Ray Jardine's Pacific Crest Trail Hiker's Handbook. And when he talked about, you know, ultralight backpacking, and he wasn't the first, but I think he's generally credited with the resurgent interest in ultralight backpacking. And he had, I remember he had a gear list in the back of his book showing like an 8-pound base pack weight. So, you know, his tent, his pack, his sleeping bag, pots and pans, extra clothing, first aid, all that stuff was under 8 pounds. And I remember looking at that and going, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And now, I mean, I can't recall the last time that I went out with a base pack weight that was over 5 pounds.
How did you get your pack so light?
So my mom believed that every kid should leave home knowing how to do three things. They should know how to cook, they should know how to bake, and they should know how to sew. She just considered those like basic life skills that everyone should know how to do. So, you know, when I rode out of town on my bicycle, I knew how to do those three things. So for the Sierra Trek, I went into REI. Okay, we're going to be a week in the Sierras. You know, what do we need? And so, of course, you know, we got the MSR stove and the SIG fuel bottle and, you know, big down sleeping bag. And so I bought, I don't even remember the brand, you know, the latest big internal frame pack. And it weighed 7.5 pounds empty.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. And, you know, now it's like all my gear in the pack weighs less than that. So I looked at the pack and I thought, well, that's a good place to start. You know, something that weighs 7.5 pounds. So I got some fabric and some webbing and I sewed myself a pack and it weighed like a pound. I thought, well, that's a good start. And then I started sewing tents and stuff sacks and just making lighter stuff. And, you know, if I had crazy ideas, like my feet get cold at night. So I have, that's probably the one piece of gear that I still have from that first CR trek is a pair of purple fleece socks that I bought on that fateful day at REI. And I still carry those. Now I have cut slits in them so I can put my thumb through and they can be mittens. So I've modified them slightly. But the first pack, I thought, you know, they're relatively heavy socks. I'm only wearing them at night. So I thought, well, during the day, I can stuff them in my shoulder straps and they'll be padding. So, you know, dual use. And then, you know, why do I need a frame? Because my sleeping pad, I'm only using that at night. So when I'm not sleeping on it, I can fold it up and that can be the frame for the pack. So, you know, since I could sew, I could incorporate these crazy ideas into my packs and make them really light.
And since you're an engineer, that helps too. Because yes, you can engineer yes. these ideas.
That's true. Yeah.
Once Glenn discovered that he could make his own gear, he started to experiment to find exactly what worked for him. Between the constant revisions and the decades he spent out on trails, Glenn's setup is dialed in. His backpack itself is 8 ounces. He said he's carried lighter, but this one has the luxury of some nice pockets. In his pack, he carries a tarp that he uses for shelter, a custom sleeping bag with a single layer of nylon to cut the wind and keep bugs out, a small pot made out of a beer can, and fuel tabs for cooking. As far as hygiene goes, he carries a minimal first aid kit, a small bottle of sunscreen, some liquid soap, and my personal favorite, a little fingertip toothbrush. It's taken him many years to perfect his packing list, but it certainly helps that he's been designing his own equipment since the 90s.
So when did your curiosity for ultralight backpacking lead you to found your own gear company, Gossamer Gear?
So I started I made a pack for myself. And then because I'm an engineer, as I'm hiking along, I'm thinking like, well, this is good, but it'd be better if I did this, or gosh, I wonder if this would work. And so I made another pack. And this is something I always tell people when they tell me, oh, I made myself a pack. I said, just be warned, it probably won't be the last pack you'll make. Then I made another pack. And finally, about the fourth pack, I felt like I'd gotten things pretty dialed in, you know, and we just joking around gave them names like, you know, my name starts with a G. They called it the G1 and the second one was G2 and the fourth one was the G4. So this was early, early internet days. And so I put the plans up on a listserv for anyone could make that they wanted to. You know, I drew out a crude kind of pattern that you could make yourself a pack. And some people did. I'll be giving a talk somewhere. And, you know, after the talk, someone comes up with this battered old pack. So this is a G4 that I made myself, like, 30 years ago, you know, I still use it, which is cool. So I put the plans up on the internet for free. And then I keep getting calls, you know, well, I don't know how to sew and I don't know anyone that knows how to sew. Could you make me one? And at this point, I'm working 80 hours a week as an engineer. It takes me 10 hours to make a pack, you know, from rolling out the fabric, marking it, cutting it, sewing it. I mean, it's a process. And so I told him, no, I can't make it back. But I kept getting calls. And so finally I thought, well, I felt bad for these people that their moms didn't teach them how to sew before they left home. So I thought I should figure out a way to get a couple packs made. And so I was talking to Quest Outfitters in Florida, a couple of sisters, and they're where I got my materials from them. And they said, well, there's this place on the West Coast in this trade publication. a cut and sew operation, you could call them. So I called up and he says, oh, our minimum order is 100. And I'm like, oh no. this is not going to work. I figured I needed 25. I figured 25 packs. Everyone can have one. They'll stop calling me. We'll be done. And so we went back and forth a little bit, and he finally agreed he would make 50 packs. And so I thought, well, they'll be in my garage for the next 5 or 10 years, but I'll eventually get rid of them. So then I sent him up a sample of my pack. And, you know, he had told me, we've sewn outdoor gear. You know, we know what we're doing. We've made other packs. And I remember a phone conversation with him after he looked at the pack I sent him. He says, these not like other packs we made. And I said, yeah, that's kind of the point. They are different. So we went through the process and ordered some fabric, got it shipped to him, and he got to work on the packs. And our son, Brian, put together a little rudimentary website that people could fill out a form for an order. And I started getting orders. So I like grabbed a yellow pad of paper and wrote down like, you know, the date, the name. And when I put a check mark when their check arrived in the mail for $70, that included postage. And I even took delivery of the 50 packs. I already had orders for 86. And that was my first indication, like, this might not work out quite the way I thought.
After placing that initial order, Glenn realized that lots of people were interested in ultralight backpacking. Glenn's knack for designing gear turned into a full-blown company called Gossamer Gear. After a few years of running it himself, Glenn's friend John Mackey bought the business. If that name sounds familiar, it's because that's the same John Mackey who founded Whole Foods, the grocery store chain. When we come back, Glenn talks about how he applies the mentality of ultralight backpacking to his life and what all his time in nature has taught him. I have good news. The REI Co-op MasterCard turns everyday spending into limitless possibilities by offering benefits and rewards that support your love of the outdoors. The REI Co-op MasterCard is just available to members, taking your membership even further by offering 5% rewards on every purchase at REI, on top of your typical 10% co-op member rewards on full price purchases. And there's a bonus. This card also includes a 1.5% reward on purchases anywhere MasterCard is accepted. Not only does the REI Co-op MasterCard benefit you as a co-op member, but it also gives back to the community by donating $2 million annually to the REI Cooperative Action Fund. Visit rei.com/mastercard-podcast to learn more about these benefits and to apply. That's rei.com/mastercard-podcast. Terms apply. In the same pioneering spirit of our podcast, Teva is all about bringing wild ideas to life. Teva was born in 1984 when a resourceful river guide strapped two Velcro watch bands to a pair of old flip-flops while adventuring across the Grand Canyon. The company has retained the same pioneering spirit ever since. Their brand mission is simple: to be your guide for adventure in the modern outdoors. This spring, they're introducing a fresh batch of earth-conscious materials that are sustainably minded and help reduce our impact. The Hurricane XLT2 Sport Sandal is made to go just about anywhere, delivering all-day comfort with a cushy EVA footbed, padded heel strap, and Rapids-ready rubber sole. If boots are more your vibe, the Grandview GTX is Teva's most technical hiker yet, engineered with a breathable Gore-Tex upper that seals out the elements. The patented universal heel lock system reduces toe pressure while trekking downhill, keeping you secure and comfortable. So whether you're seeking a do-it-all sports sandal or a style to take on the trail, Teva has a pair for you. Check out the consciously crafted Teva footwear this spring with select colors available at your local REI and at rei.com.
Hey everybody, I have a sweet deal you're going to want to take advantage of for your summer adventures. We know it can be hard to find a campsite in peak season. That's why HipCamp and REI Co-op have teamed up to offer the Summer of Magic Campout Series. If you haven't heard of HipCamp, it's the simplest way to find and reserve the best campsites on Earth. Think over 5 million acres of beautiful, private camping you won't find anywhere else. All summer long, you have a chance to win free campouts and experiences at the most incredible campsites in the country. This might mean a fully loaded campout with gear and snacks, secluded spots next to beautiful waterfalls, or even the ultimate pup-friendly road trip. All you have to do is say yes to magic. Want in? Sign up at hipcamp.com/magic. You'll get notified when new experiences are announced. Once they are, they will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. So make sure you're prepared and sign up today. Again, that's hipcamp.com/magic for a chance to be part of HipCamp and REI's Summer of Magic Campout Series. Glenn Van Pesky fell in love with ultralight backpacking after he took his son on a trek in the Sierras. His pack for the trip weighed 70 pounds. That's like carrying a 7-year-old on your back. After that, Glenn became obsessed with making his pack as light as possible. He found that carrying less weight allowed him to go farther and see more. Glenn has learned a lot from packing less, both on and off the trail. So what are the benefits of taking less gear?
The benefits are so many. I mean, one is you get to enjoy the hike more. And it depends on, I should say, it depends on how you like to enjoy the backcountry. You know, I know people who just like to hike into a lake, do a base camp, and then day hike up the peaks and stuff around. And, you know, if that's how you do wilderness, then pack weight's not that big a deal. You know, you probably want to pack a nice chair in and, you know, it's a different experience. Usually for me, I like to do miles. I like to experience, I don't sit well generally. I like to be moving. So I'm generally, if it's light out, I'm hiking. Francie, my wife, knows the expression, honey, you're burning daylight. It's like, let's move. Sun's up. We should be walking. If you're walking all day, then carrying a lighter load means you're enjoying it a lot more. You know, you're able to see what's around. You don't need to stop and take your pack off just to let your muscles, you know, get unknotted. And you have less injuries. You know, I am remarkably injury-free, and I think a lot of that's due to carrying light weight. You know, it's just you're less likely to sprain something, wear things out, wear out joints when you don't have that much weight on. You're able to help other people. You know, if you do get into trouble, someone can run ahead and you can redistribute their load if everyone's carrying light loads. So there's a lot of benefits of going lighter.
Besides the physical benefits, what are like the mental and metaphorical benefits?
One of the benefits of going ultralight and minimal on the trail is it gives you a new appreciation for all the conveniences that we take for granted. You know, I mean, I live in a 3,000 square foot house with instant hot water. And, you know, we've got like a kind of like 16 inch mattress with a memory foam topper and down comforter. And, you know, I got these amazing pillows and, you know, you just kind of like, that's just what life is. I mean, we just take it for granted. But, you know, after you've been on the trail, sleeping on the ground on a quarter inch foam mattress and having to treat your water, you know, it's like hot water coming out of a faucet is a miracle. And it kind of resets your expectations, I guess, and your joy and appreciation for how good we have it here. And in life, taking less gives you more margin. So you have the ability to notice someone else that maybe there's a reason they crossed your path in life. And maybe it's because they have a solution to something that you've been working on, or maybe you can help them with something they've been working on. You know, because we have been intentional, you know, living on less than we make, we give away a significant portion of our income. So we have a separate account that anytime money comes in, a big chunk of it goes to the separate account. So when needs come up, we can meet those. We don't have to ask, do we have money or not? So now I'm always excited when I meet new people, because I think like, wow, do they have something that I need to hear, or am I going to be able to help them in some way?
Generosity is something that you have a lot of. And I mean, you really downplay it, but like I've seen you just give basically the pack off your back to someone else. It's really interesting. Where did that come from?
You know, I think it goes back to that summer of 1976 and that breakfast. You know, just giving of your life to impact someone else's.
Glenn has a new book called Take Less, Do More. In it, he chronicles stories from the trail and lessons he's learned over the years. What has all your time in nature taught you about the power of subtraction?
You know, one of the great things about being in nature is the focus. You know, I mean, I love the world, the front country world I live in, and being connected and being able to text the neighbors and if they want some bread that I just baked or stuff like that, and just being connected. But it takes a toll. And, you know, like that's like I meditate every morning, and, you know, I think I suck at it because my brain's always going. But, you know, being outside, there's no cell phone coverage. You can't fix anything in the house that needs fixing. You can't talk to the insurance person to do whatever you need to do. You can't make a doctor's appointment. All you need to think about is like, am I hungry? Or, you know, what am I going to eat next? And where's the next water? And where am I going to camp tonight? I mean, life just gets distilled down to like such bare essentials that your brain can just wander. You know, think about big questions. You can think about people that maybe you should reach out to when you can. Or the other cool thing is like talking to people. We've done a fair amount of like walking trips in Europe. And, you know, when you're walking all day with people, I mean, sometimes you're by yourself and your own thoughts, but sometimes you naturally find yourself pace-wise, you're walking along with someone. And you really have a chance to get to know them. You know, you ask them something, they'll say, oh, it's a long story. And then you go, well, we got all day, you know, and you get a chance that we don't really get in life. Cause like, oh, that sounds interesting. But like, in 15 minutes, I got to be somewhere else, you know, so you don't have that time. And so having that uninterrupted time to connect with people is huge.
I find it inspiring that ultralight backpacking has opened up so many opportunities for Glenn to build and cultivate relationships. One of the most important things he's learned is to be intentional. Glenn creates every piece of gear with a purpose, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a sense of humor about it too. For example, he mentioned that his favorite piece of gear was something called a crotch pot. It's a small, durable bag that you fasten inside your pants with lightweight plastic hooks. The idea is that you put your food in a Ziploc, the Ziploc goes inside the crotch pot, which goes in your pants, and then your body heats your dinner. Our producer, Sylvia, was so fascinated by this that Glenn even sent her one. Go check it out on Gossamer Gear's website if you're interested. Glenn Van Pesky, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your amazing stories, sending a crotch pot to Sylvia, and just being so darn nice. If you want to get a copy of Glenn's book, you can pre-order it now at glennvanpesky.com or wherever you get books. Again, it's called Take Less, Do More. 100% of the proceeds from Glenn's book will be donated to the Pacific Crest Trail Association. Take Less, Do More comes out on April 16th, and I can't recommend it enough. You can follow Glenn on Instagram at gvanpeski. That's G-V-A-N-P-E-S-K-I. Wild Ideas Worth Living is part of the REI Podcast Network. It's hosted by me, Shelby Stanger, produced by Annie Fassler, Sylvia Thomas, and Sam Pierce-Nitzberg of Puddle Creative. Our senior producers are Jenny Barber and Hannah Boyd. Our executive producers are Paolo Motola and Joe Crosby. As always, we love it when you follow the show. Take time to rate it and write a review wherever you listen. And remember, some of the best adventures happen when you follow your wildest ideas. The Ziploc goes inside the... Oh my God. Okay.